Maybe feed it.
All right. Thank you, Piper. All right, there we go. Good job, Piper. I think we got a new Sunday night song leader here. That's good. Oh, you know what? Since you're standing up, can you show everybody your shirt? Because I'm gonna make an announcement about the shirt. Yeah, so those shirts, thank you, Emma. Those shirts are free over in the fellowship hall. There's blue, there's pink, there's red, there's green, and they range in sizes from small to 3X, and they are free, so you're welcome to them. All right, Genesis. We're going to talk about covenant and Noah. Genesis chapter 6, verse 17 is where we'll start, or at least where the covenant shows up. And Genesis 6, 17, this is the first covenant God makes with man. There's going to be seven covenants that God makes with man. And sometimes guys teach about Eden as a covenant and Adam as a covenant, but there's no covenant in Adam. There's no covenant in Eden. This is the first covenant. And these covenants that God makes with man, one of the purposes is to keep men alive. To keep men alive. Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. Bible says, "And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark," and here's the purpose, of course, "to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female." All right, let's pray, and we're going to talk about the covenant in Noah, the covenant in Noah. Father, I pray that you would help us this evening. Help us get what we need to out of these verses. Thank you for each soul that's here. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. And for those that are watching, I pray that they would get a blessing out of the message as well. And thank you for these words. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Last week we talked about the days of Noah. Covered that pretty thoroughly, I think. And dealt with sons of God and flesh and just the whole celebrity culture and all that stuff that was going on in Noah's day. And basically people being morality based on people's physical attributes. You know, if you were a pretty person, a strong person, a fast person, then you obviously had some valid thing to say or some valid moral point in life. And that's the way we are as a nation generally. The pretty people, the strong people, the fast people, the athletes, they seem to have some or at least they're touted as having some moral high ground or, you know, some cause or something that's worthwhile. And that's how it was in Noah's day. He says, as in the days of Noah. And people are basically just living their lives. No idea that God had an opinion about their lives, which is pretty much today. People just live their lives and have no sense that God has an opinion about their lives. And so when the flood comes, We talked about how devastating that was going to be, and it was. But the Lord was just, he was done with it. He was going to start over with Noah, and so he does. So he gives Noah some blueprints. He says, make an ark, make it this big, make it this way, give it these dimensions, and seal it with pitch and all that kind of thing, and bring in animals into the ark. And the purpose is these blueprints are my grace to you. This is the grace of God put in practice, or this is just the grace of God and his provision for mankind, for Noah and his family, really, and the successors there, which we are. But so the Lord gives Noah these blueprints. Noah spends 120 years, or God says he's going to give 120 years to man while Noah builds the ark. And in the time being, he's just going to let things go as they are. And so he does. And at the end of this, these verses we just read, it's right before the flood, and the Lord tells Noah, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And you and me, my grace will be experienced through your life. My mercy will be experienced through your faith. Your faith, your trust in me will be a benefit to future generations. And unfortunately, the generations that are around Noah at this time, they're not going to enjoy it because they just don't believe God and they really don't care what God says. And that's the characteristic that is prevalent. Luke says it, Matthew says it, he says they're eating, they're drinking, they're giving in marriage. And they're basically just people just going about their daily lives until the flood comes. And when the flood comes, there's no preparing anymore. There's no way to get ready. As we talked about it last week, you do the math on that thing, and you're talking about such a catastrophic amount of water. Just doing the math on it, if you've got 6 inches of water coming up over the entire face of the earth, 6 inches of water every minute, this thing is just it is a disaster. It is absolutely catastrophic, and it is catastrophic. And you're talking about billions of people on the earth at that time, not just a handful of people, if you count population growth and things like that, and even people living longer. If you just took the current population growth rate, you're talking about almost 19 billion people on the earth, which is, that's incredible. And it's more incredible, I think, that there would be, if there's that many people on the earth, you have literally one man that God can trust and God can give direction to, and he'll listen. The rest of the people won't listen. So it's incredible. So here's God's covenant with Noah. He says, verse 17, behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die, but with thee I will establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. This is the first covenant, as we said, that God makes with man. There's going to be six more. Most of them are found in Genesis. You've got the covenant with Noah. The next covenant is going to be the covenant God makes with a man named Abraham. Actually, 10 generations later, Noah is 10 generations from Adam. Abraham is 10 generations from Noah. And God makes a covenant with Abraham. And he makes a covenant with Abraham for land, a particular piece of land. He says, I'm going to give this land to your heritage. And leads Abraham, and Abraham leaves his country and follows the Lord and all that kind of thing. And then after God makes a covenant with Abraham, he makes a covenant with Isaac and reaffirms the covenant he made with Abraham. And then with Jacob, he does the same thing. He makes another covenant with Jacob and says, I'm making a covenant with you just like I made with your dad and your grandfather, and I'm giving you all the land. This is the land you're going to get. And so you got four covenants in the book of Genesis, and they will provide the basis. God will constantly refer back in Israel to these covenants that he makes with the with these folks. But we're just covering Noah right now, but I just want to give you the overview of the covenants. But he'll constantly refer back to the covenants and talk about the covenants that I made with thy fathers and things like that. That's who he's talking about, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he makes a covenant with the nation of Israel through Moses, and that's in Exodus. And then we talked about the king and all that kind of stuff. Ultimately, he makes a covenant with David, and the throne would come through the line of David. And then he makes the last and final covenant with Jesus Christ, and that's the covenant he's going to make, and that's the last sort of covenant of peace between man and God, if man will have Jesus Christ. But that's the overview. We're not talking about all the covenants. We're just talking about Noah's covenant tonight. The first thing about Noah's covenant, it is the purpose of it. The purpose of it is to keep man alive. That's the whole purpose of the covenant, is he's going to establish something with a man he can trust in order to keep mankind alive on the earth. Go back over to Genesis chapter 6. And look in verse 8. The purpose of the covenant is to save life. Verse 8, Genesis 6, 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the first time grace shows up in the Bible. Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. Particularly, the grace that Noah finds is... in this case, blueprints to an ark. He gets blueprints to how to survive the wrath of God. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And apparently, of all the generations, it looked like he's the only one that does, which is just incredible. But God makes covenant with Noah. He finds grace. Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this is the very first time these two things show up. And we mentioned it last week, but I'll mention it again. Paul would use the phrase, by grace through faith. By grace through faith. Noah is going to be saved by grace through faith. Now, we just hear that and we think Jesus Christ, and we should. That's how you get saved, is through Jesus Christ. But Noah gets grace, and through faith, by grace through faith, is how he survives the wrath of God. We'll deal with that in just a second. Let me show you a verse about Noah being a preacher of righteousness in this time. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 2. He understands and he lives out righteousness. Just it's obedience to God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. This will recall your minds to last week when we talked about these angels and all that kind of stuff. For if God spared not the angels, this is 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. A couple of things about Noah and his situation. So the Lord says the culture is ungodly, and that just meant, according to Matthew and Luke, people just doing their business and had nothing to do with God. And so he said that is the definition, the literal definition of ungodly. Second thing, he talks about an old world. This is not a separate earth or anything. The world, as we've studied it and I've shown you, the world is the civilization. It's the people. And so when that whole civilization of people is wiped out in a flood, the Lord says that old world, that thing was completely destroyed. Not that the earth was destroyed. The earth survived. It was fine. It grew back after a year after the waters abated and the grass started growing, trees started growing. The world wasn't destroyed. The earth wasn't destroyed, but the world was. The civilization was. The people were. And Noah it's mentioned. He's a preacher of righteousness. By grace through faith, Noah builds the ark. We'll look at Hebrews here in a second. Noah walks with God just like Enoch walked with God. And it is not... God did not and does not in the Bible. I try to stress this so you understand, and we all understand how important decisions are in your life. God did not predestinate Noah to be the man to build an ark. Noah walked with God, and God could trust him with information, and I don't even know if it's God could trust him with it. He just listened to God. So when the Lord said, I'm going to destroy the earth or destroy the world and destroy humanity, and here's some blueprints to an ark, here's how you survive this thing, he could have given that to 19 billion other people and none of them would have cared. But Noah cared because he listened to the Lord. And so Noah walks with God, he finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he builds the ark by faith, as you'll see in Hebrews 11. And so Noah's not, just like Abraham is not, he isn't predestinated to be the man God's going to give a land grant to. Abraham walks with God. Noah walks with God. These men make decisions in their lives. And they make decisions, and those decisions have consequences for good or for bad. These men choose to walk with God. Noah chooses to walk with God. And therefore, when God gives instruction, Noah hears it. He hears it and he obeys and he does what God says. So Noah is a preacher of righteousness. I've heard many different accounts, and it's just kind of sanctified imagination. But, you know, with Noah building the ark for 120 years, and you know that the people that watched Noah build the ark, they gossiped about him, I'm sure. They thought he was just a literal nut. They couldn't believe a guy would waste his life like this. They couldn't believe a man would involve his kids in something so stupid to build a boat like this. And I imagine he heard it from neighbors and people all the time on a regular basis. Just what a wasted life. You are doing a disservice to your family by doing this. You are doing a disservice to your children. They're missing out on so much because they have to spend time with you building this ark. And I imagine he heard it day in and day out. And the Bible says that man Noah is a preacher of righteousness. Boy, when the flood waters came, it wasn't just rain. It was the depths are broken up, the Bible says. And when those waters started coming, it was a catastrophe. And all those ideas about how crazy Noah was, all that stuff didn't matter anymore. It just didn't even make any difference. Noah's in the ark, his family's in the ark, and God's judgment is just going to be poured out. And as we talked about it last week, the main difference between the believer and the unbeliever is the believer is prepared for the wrath of God and the unbeliever is not prepared. So here's Noah, preacher of righteousness. God will, through him, make a covenant with mankind and the future generations of mankind. I told you we go to Hebrews. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Here's another little tidbit that we're going to explore next week a little bit more. But Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, by faith Noah, Hebrews 11:7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That's one of the things that goes all through the Bible. Righteousness by faith. In Abraham, God would say, he believed God, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. He says that of Abraham. Paul mentions it about Abraham in Romans chapter, I think, 4 or 5 there, where he recounts that. The Bible says of David, of Daniel, these men believed God. And so here's Noah. He believes the Lord. He builds the ark. Now here's a question that you and I need to think about. And it's something that needs to be considered by nominal church-going folks. If Noah doesn't build the ark, and Noah knows about the ark, or knows about blueprints and how to build an ark, and he knows that God's going to send a flood, but he doesn't prepare for it, is that counted as faith? Meaning, can faith be just something that has no activity to it? No. If Noah just knows that a flood is coming, and he doesn't do anything about it, he doesn't listen to the Lord in building an ark, he doesn't become the heir, as the Bible says, of the righteousness which is by faith. You know what he does? He just dies in the flood. And so it's something you ought to think about. The Bible never portrays faith as just within your own mind, faith. It never portrays faith as just something that's just caught up between your ears, and then, you know, that's what it is. Faith is put into action. There's activity to it. And with Noah, his faith is he prepares an ark. The Bible says he prepares an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now you might say, and some would probably say this, well, you're saying he was saved by works. That's not what it says. It said he was saved by faith. It was just activity. It was an active faith. It was something he put into practice. It wasn't just that he was he just knew about things. And I think we can kind of get kind of lost in some of that sometimes, being, you know, we say Bible believers, and you know, we have the King James Bible, and so we understand or whatever. And I think we get kind of lost in some of that stuff, and we think the information or the knowledge about things is faith. That's not faith. That's just information. That's just knowledge. That's just something that you can carry around. It could be faith if you applied it, if you believed it, if you lived it out. But it doesn't mean just because you maybe understand or know something, that's faith. That's not necessarily faith. That's just information. It's just knowledge. And Paul says, knowledge just puffs up. It's just, I think I'm more spiritual because I know the book or whatever like that. And I mean, you know, folks, you probably met folks and heard folks that talk like that or think like that, but hopefully you don't. But faith is never or just an information thing. It's never just an information thing. We'll talk some more about that next Sunday evening. But God trusts Noah. He gives Noah instruction. Noah accepts the instruction. He builds the ark, spends 120 years doing it. And here is the result. Let's go back over to 2 Peter real quick. Go back over to 2 Peter. Because y'all know what the result ultimately is. He gets on the ark. The floods come. Wipe out the world, and after the world is wiped out, Noah gets off the ark, his family gets off the ark, and they own the whole world. I told you, 2 Peter 2, look in 2 Peter 3. Second Peter 3:1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. So context, last days. Remember in the last days, the coming of the Son of Man as the coming of, as Noah in his day and all that kind of thing. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God. The heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, which you just read about in chapter 2, I know people apply that to Gap and things like that. You have the context in the previous chapter of it. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. It's long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I'll stop there. You get the idea. The point is, he's just comparing the water destruction to the fire destruction, and people just unaware of it. They're just not thinking about it unless they're godly folks, unless they believe what the Lord said and are prepared for it because they've trusted what God said about it. So this covenant in Noah, just to sum it all up here, he was done with that world. He was tired of watching man do what man was doing. He's going to flood the world. He has one man that walks with him, which is incredible. That's incredible. And gives this man direction on building and preparing a boat that will survive the wrath of God. And this covenant God makes with Noah, the purpose of it, number one, is to keep men alive. Otherwise, he's done with him. I mean, he'll wipe the whole thing out. To keep men alive. And Noah is the first instance of by grace through faith, as you saw in Hebrews 11:7, Noah, through faith, he does this thing by God's grace, and he is the inheritor not only of the righteousness which is by faith, but when he steps off that ark, as again we mentioned it last week, when he steps off that ark, he inherits the entire earth. And so he steps on the ark as a nut to everybody. I mean, just an insane man to probably the entire world. And a year later, he steps off the ark. A year and a few days later, he steps off the ark. And he is the now inheritor of the entire earth. And it brings to mind, and it makes me think of this, that the Lord said, he says, the meek shall inherit the earth. But he talks about the righteous inheriting the earth. The people that end up inheriting the earth, people like Noah. People like Noah. But anyhow, here's the covenant in Noah. God makes a covenant with Noah. As y'all remember, I don't have to show you these verses. Noah gets off the ark. God promises he's never going to flood the earth again like this. He said, I'm just not going to do it this way again. And he gives them a rainbow to remember that. And I guess we could say some things about the rainbow and what it's become. But God gives a rainbow as a promise and says, you see that rainbow? That's my promise to you, that I will never destroy the earth in a flood again. But he will destroy it in a fire. That's going to happen. but he just won't do it in a flood. So there is God's covenant in Noah. Noah finds grace. He walks with God. He's perfect in his generations. By grace through faith, he builds this ark and saves his family and becomes the inheritor of righteousness, which is by faith, according to Hebrews. And he also becomes the inheritor of the entire earth, which is, that's incredible. But that is God's covenant in Noah there. Let's pray, and we'll get out of here. Father, I pray it's been helpful. There's lots of things in these couple of chapters in the early book here in Genesis. We're just covering so much material, but so much foundational material, just so much basic stuff that will become a theme throughout the Bible. Lord, I pray that you would help us be good ambassadors as you have us here in this world. If anybody's not saved and watching at home or maybe watching in the future, I pray they would, as Amos said, prepare to meet thy God. I pray they'd prepare. I pray they'd understand their sin. I pray people would understand that God has an opinion about their lives. And whether they like that or not, God does have an opinion. And I pray we would understand that. And it's better to live our lives according to the what you said, Lord. And you're all wise, you're all knowing. Why would we not do it? But we don't. And Father, I pray you'd help us to do it more often. Help us to follow you. Help us to trust you more. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.